Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424-294-321. That's 0424-294-321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Shark Cast, you'll get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services. Sharkies! 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 Sharkies!
Sharkies! Sharkies! Sharkies! Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Gorilla Independent Shark Cast TV.
I am your regular host, Newman, and I am joined, as I am every week. We're not in the fishing shack this week, Samuel. We're in the man cave.
Good to see you, friend.
The wind is blowing. Please bear with us if there's a few tech issues, but we are here live and loud. Samuel, how are you today?
I'm downcast. My club is yet again being dragged through the mud, and worst of all, we are dead in 2017. Controversial match. I'm happy to be here with you, though.
Yes, it's always good to be here with you, Samuel. The official records will read that the Sharks were rolled by the North Queensland Cowboys 15 points to 14 in controversial fashion, and that means we exit season 2017 in the first week of the semi-finals. That is all she wrote. Now, the first thing we need to do is address the fact that we are not at Sharks headquarters, not in the fishing shack, and Robbie Willis, our good mate, is not with us. Should I go through it, Samuel?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, the club has appealed the decision by the NRL for, as you probably know, there is a $30,000 fine, $20,000 of that for Shane Flanagan's comments, which we will get into. $10,000 of that was on the Sharks media department. The Sharks will be appealing that, holus bolus, the whole lot. As such, because there's an appeal happening, the club has essentially been gagged by the NRL from making any comments about the match. Now, that doesn't mean they prevented Sharkcast Radio and Sharkcast TV from happening.
No.
But if it was going to go out on Sharks Facebook, we wouldn't be able to talk about the Cowboys game. And that wouldn't have been a good podcast.
It would have been pretty boring. But we're here to dumb it all down for everyone and talk about it with you guys. Man, it was an emotional afternoon.
It was. I think we should address the issue first about the breach notice and about the comments, and we'll get into the game. Probably we want to preface this by saying we don't think the team played well.
No. I thought they played with a lot of heart. We haven't really discussed this too much, but they played with a lot of heart, not a lot of execution, which ultimately cost them. We do believe the officials played a part.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't think they necessarily cost them the game. That's a bit of a difference between maybe us and other people. But they kind of went hand in hand, which is not good.
Okay. First, it's worth pointing out that Sharkcast TV and radio is brought to you by our lovely sponsors, Dyson Logistics, Shark Island Brewing Company, and Endeavour Property Services. But our major sponsor is Dyson Logistics. You can get them at DysonLogistics.com. Now, the officials did play a part in the game, and Shane Flanagan went into the press conference, and it was one for the ages, Samuel. He let go with both barrels.
Bullets.
The whole lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. He gave it to them. The first thing he said in the press conference was, though, that he had contacted Brian Canavan, who's the head of the NRL Integrity Commission, and said that he was going to say this, and he was given the green light. And then lo and behold, the Todd Greenberg turns around and says, you need to grow up, Shane. Here's a $20,000 fine.
I've since heard, Newman, that Brian and Shane had heated words. So whether he got a green light to do it and risk whatever's going to happen, maybe that was the case, or maybe he said, go do it. Well, we weren't there. Not many people were around those two at the time. He didn't miss. My first thoughts as a member, paid member, lifelong fan, I was actually happy that he was addressing it. And yeah. I still am happy he addressed it.
Yeah.
In hindsight, of course, he should have pointed out the fact that we didn't complete too well, missed some tackles, etc., etc. But his point about the 7 points, the 7 bullet points, they were all valid.
Absolutely.
Tony Archer came out and said a couple of them were true, a bunch of them weren't, but as a fan, I needed to hear that.
Absolutely. And at the ground, for those of you who weren't at the ground, you probably looked even worse on TV, but it was just one of those games where nothing went our way. Luke Lewis run down the sideline chasing a kick 3 times, gets clattered to the ground in good, solid, hard contact. And then James Maloney goes up the other end of the field, brushes against, who was it, Ethan Lowe? Yeah, one of the Cowboys players. And he gets 10 in the sin bin. If I'm a coach, I'm fuming. The other thing you didn't see was Luke Lewis after the game. He gives referee Ashley Klein a massive spray. Now, that's not Luke Lewis's go normally. He goes into the dressing room and says to Shane Flanagan, Shane, I've been playing football since what seems like 1908.
30 years, probably.
That's the worst refereeing performance I've ever seen. And they send Shane Flanagan into a press conference that he doesn't want to be at.
Yeah.
He's forced to be there. They stick a microphone in his face and say, what do you think about the referee? Of course he's going to blow up.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the whole sore loser stuff and I get the whole other teams giving it to us, but I'm also glad that he did it.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to the NRL. The NRL are completely out of touch. Now, Samuel and myself, we buy a membership each year. You buy 2, I buy 2, okay? I have a Foxtel subscription that I pay for, which pays for the broadcast rights.
I get it for free.
Yeah, you get it for free. I also have a Telstra subscription so that I can stream games. I got a message to you, Todd Greenberg. I'm the guy that pays your salary. I'm the person who puts my hand in my pocket and let you and I pay these companies, and these companies pay you when they pay their salary. And you're trying to silence me. You're trying to silence Sam. You're trying to silence the man on the street. Because what Shane Flanagan said in that press conference, and to a degree what Trent Barrett said, we have to be fair, is what every NRL fan is thinking. And you don't have to be blind to understand it, because you look at the TV on the weekend, there's 15,000 people in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that game should have had 24, 25 at least. One team is out of town. They had some fans there, much to their credit. Crowds are down all around, all the games, with, I guess, the exception of Melbourne, but the 3 Sydney games, the crowds were down. It's not a happy place. You know?
Right. And let's talk about inconsistency, okay? Because I think in Shane Flanagan's press conference, he wasn't specifically blowing up about any particular call. He's blowing up about the inconsistency in ruling. So, again, Luke Lewis comes down the field, gets knocked over, no penalty.
Mm.
You go up the other end, James Maloney knocks a player over, penalty sin bin.
Paul Gallen is stripped of the ball, not a penalty. 2 minutes earlier down the field, Matt Pryor, third man in, barely touches the ball, pops out, penalty, they convert to go to extra time.
Two almost identical situations, 2 different rulings that had an impact on the game. And Shane said it, he said, let the teams decide. You want to talk about inconsistency? In 2013, when the Cowboys were bundled out by the Sharks on the famous 7-tackle game, Jonathan Thurston came out and said there was an NRL conspiracy to remove the Cowboys from the semifinals so that the NRL could have 2 Sydney teams in the grand final. If I don't know what questioning the integrity of the NRL is, that is it. There is a textbook definition of that. Was Jonathan Thurston fined for this?
I don't believe so.
No, he was not. Because Todd Greenberg, who is subsequently now the CEO, said, and I quote, those comments did not question the integrity of the officials. And yet, they turn around and have the hide to fine Shane Flanagan $20,000. No other refs ever been fined $20,000. It's another inconsistent decision. This is what fans of the game are fed up with. It's the inconsistency, Sam.
Just being a punter at the ground, the fans were furious. And I'm talking about the normal sane fans. The insane ones, they thought the teams were offside all day, I get all that stuff. But the sane fans, mostly sane, had questions, which Shane Flanagan asked. Now, in hindsight, Shane Flanagan has said that the team didn't play to their best. So he has conceded that side of things, which he needed to.
He should have done that in the press conference
too. Absolutely.
If he says, look, guys, Andrew Fifita made an error at the end there.
Yep.
We completed it at 67%. If he says those two sentences, there's no cause of about him being a soul
loser. You can understand why he didn't, because he was so frustrated because they're just dragged into this press conference after the game. And then the journos are like, go.
Yeah.
Give us your best.
Yeah, exactly.
But he has come out and said that since. So that's good. That's a great thing. But the answers that Archer gave, a lot of people don't agree with still.
That's right. And there was a list that came out. Before we get into that, a couple of shout-outs. Ashley says, hey, guys, how you going, Ash? David Neal says, attack cost us all, boy, all year, not just on Sunday. Love the digs. This is the man cave. And you can't see it. I'm blocking it off, but look at my mirror. How good's that? Sharks to win, boys.
Yeah, David's right. David's right. The attack was not great, particularly the execution in the opposition 20. So...
We should have been up by more at halftime. Did you get that feeling?
Absolutely. And that is a reason why we didn't win. A reason.
Yeah.
One of many.
Yeah, agreed.
So, as far as the ref stuff goes, I mean, I'm just bummed that it's dragged out. I'm bummed that we're doing this. But I do, and I stand by my applauding of the coach for bringing up these questions. I knew the reaction it would get, but at the end of the day, I'm happy he asked the questions. Because if he didn't, you'd be like, Flano.
What about the NRL? What are you as angry with the NRL and as disillusioned with the NRL as a governing body as I am? Like, on Monday, I was doing everything I could to get Todd Greenberg's email address to blast him.
Yeah.
And I had it 2 years ago. I had it, but I've lost it.
Disillusioned, not as angry. We're going to move on. And I was angry for a moment, probably in the afternoon on Sunday. Like,
you're not an angry guy by nature, though.
Not overly angry. The referees... Because here's the arguments I hear. The arguments I hear is, from Sharks fans, that we conceded at 60%, we missed 40 tackles, we
true.
All that
true.
Stuff. So we didn't deserve to win. And so that's where I kind of go, well, hang on a sec. It's 14-all. Gallon's trying to play the ball. We're going to take that victory and move into week two.
Exactly.
And all year, Newman, it's kind of how we've been winning games. Not at our best. And it's been okay. Like, we've all been applauding them and going to the games and buying the merch. But all of a sudden this week, there's a little bit of an influx of people saying, well, they didn't deserve to win anyway, so you can't blame the refs.
All right, well, let's talk about... we've got a message here from Clinton Maynard, our mate from 2UE.
Great man.
He said he's watched the game 3 times and he can't blame the refs, okay? But it was 14-all.
Yep.
But we were on and doing the same things we did. And this is, it was the story of the season, right?
Valid statement.
We played well for a period and then let it all go. He said, but the Matt Prior strip really cost us. It was not a strip and in front of the post. If that was in Golden Point, there's no way the refs give the penalty.
So Clinton, in that instance... you would maybe suggest the referee had an influence over the game. And that's where we're saying they actually had an influence over the result. Wasn't the reason, but an influence. But you're right, we didn't play too well.
Now, I've spoken to somebody on the coaching staff. I can't say who.
Shane Flanagan.
No, it wasn't Shane Flanagan, but there's someone on the coaching staff. They've asked to remain anonymous because they can't make a public comment due to the gag order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they made a very articulate point that the referees did cost the game. I'm on record normally as saying the referees never cost you the game. You don't drop the ball 6 times. His point was the Luke Lewis penalties, which Tony Archer came back and said should have been a penalty. The first one was in kicking range. James Maloney would have kicked the goal. That's 2 points that win us the game.
Oh, yeah. The Paul Gallen one.
Yeah.
That closes it all out.
But Archer never came back and said that was a penalty.
Right.
The Luke Lewis one, Tony Archer in his report said that was a penalty.
Well, that's a valid point. That's a great statement. I mean...
So let's talk more about the game itself.
Newman, a lot of conviction, a lot of heart.
They tried hard.
Like, I was happy enough with that, that's for sure. They put in, you know, James Maloney, much maligned all year. he was doing his best to win that game, in my opinion. Obviously, a lot of errors and that kind of stuff, but the effort was there, which is mostly what I'm after. The effort's got to be there, and it was.
And we looked really good in the first 20 minutes. Like, that first try was a kind of a fluke. I was actually up applauding the fact we got a repeat set, and then they're like, whoa, hang on, this is a try. Like, that was a great moment in the game.
Yeah. Although some people were thinking that was a controversial try as well.
Well, it was the same as the Taumalolo try. You couldn't really tell one way or the other. They went up try. I can wear the Taumalolo one because that's the rule is stupid. Right?
Mm.
The rule is stupid that you're essentially making the referee guess. And Kane from Dyson Logistics, our major sponsor, DysonLogistics.com, put a photo up on his Facebook which showed the guy who made the decision standing behind the ruck. So pulling the ball down there, he's standing around there.
He can't see.
He can't see. So he's going, what's he judging it on? The body language? How close they were to the ground?
He's
having a guess, right? Yeah. And he's guessing try. And that's the rule. The rule's dumb, but you play within the rules. And that's the Taumalolo try. And that was the same story with our try early on.
Well, I mean,
we've got another message here, Samuel. Yeah, Steve says Ashley Klein's belligerent record is consistent. He has games with blowout penalties and loses control, causing coach blow up and Klein being sacked. Now, he's been sacked this week.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not officiating a match this week.
I don't expect Tony Archer to come out and drill his referees. It's, you know, Shane Flanagan didn't come out and say anything about our players. It's the same thing. He's protecting his own guys. When a lot of it's so black and white, you need to concede that you're wrong every now and then. There's no shame in that.
110%. I'm just going to turn this back so it doesn't ping. We will have this out as an audio podcast also later. It's worth pointing out. If you just search, keep following this Facebook page, you'll see that our audio podcasts come out every week during the season. Unfortunately, we won't be back till next year, Sam, and that's just the way it goes.
Well, you know, I might come around, we might do something.
Yeah.
Top
10 favourite players, some of the off-season stuff.
Favourite chip and chase moments. Yeah. Chad Townsend, Barry Russell, David Peachy.
Clinton's come back and said, the ref did have an influence, but we should have won it by halftime and should have kicked a field goal instead of Gal going for the final run. That's the point.
Yeah, that's right. All fair. On the Gallon thing, he has been criticised for doing that hit-up, which, you know, he gets criticised a lot for doing hit-ups. He was going for the try, and he almost got it.
Yeah.
And it was early in the count. I'm kind of okay with it. I do understand what Clinton's saying. If you spread it, go for the early field goal, absolutely. But he was going for a try.
At that point, though, was it 15-all, or was it 15-14?
Oh, you got me here. It was before Golden Point, I'm
pretty
sure.
It was before Golden Point. Before extra time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe he's watched it back three times. What are you doing to yourself?
How can you do that to yourself? Oh, I tell you what. Andrew, when we talk about those last moments.
It's right in front of me, buddy.
Andrew Fifita. What was he doing?
It was great. There was a few seconds left. Probably, 10 seconds left. He's in the middle of the field. He's steamrolling. He's ready to go. And he steps to the right. And he's not going forward. And he goes for the mystery offload. You can see all the players not happy. I think he takes the hit up, at least gives Jimmy a shot from 30 out. We're backing him in.
Doesn't mean we win. Jimmy's got to kick the field goal.
Got to get the chance though, Jimmy.
Yep. B, we then only go to Golden Point.
Yeah, well.
Okay, but that doesn't mean we win, but it doesn't mean we lose. We certainly don't lose.
I hope that...
And he's got this thing in his game now, Andrew Fifita, where if teams push up on him really hard and get up in his face, instead of running into him and clattering backwards, he goes across field and looks to pass. And that's what happened. Origin 1, he was going at them really hard, running hard onto the ball, played fantastic. Origin 2, Queensland start to work out how to get up on him, and then he starts going across field.
Yeah.
It's like two Andrew Fifitas.
That moment for me was Rugby League 101. He should have known what to do. Maybe he should have got some more instruction. I'm not sure. But you got to at least give Maloney the chance to go for it. Maloney's a match winner. I'm backing him in to at least level. I thought Andrew Fifita had a really good game aside from that. Like, I thought he was strong. I thought his last 3 weeks had been really good. I thought Pryor was good. So I felt sorry for him while I was making a few curse words and stuff. Just the wrong decision.
All right, now we've got a few shout-outs here, Samuel. Nathan says, g'day, fellas. Nathan, where were you? I was at the Cricketers Arms. Didn't see anyone there. And Matt Crozar says he spoke to the NRL and quizzed them on the rules.
That's awesome.
And he was told that those are just your view. He thought the rules were black and white.
Okay.
And they fobbed him off with every question, mate. That's disappointing, but it is unsurprising.
It's good that you did that, Matty. We as fans appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. So make sure you write in to us.
I saw the great Matty. Actually, I saw a million people. Let's just get this out of the way now, just before I forget.
What a day out. I saw weather was magic.
A million and one people who listen to our show and watch our show. They all made me feel like a millionaire.
Yep.
Unlike Katie online, who's calling me all sorts of names.
Oh, yeah.
Katie,
hey,
what's the story?
What's her name? Kate Bug?
Well, I've got a feeling it's like Joe Bloggs, but we'll call it Kate. Right.
Okay.
Anyway, negativity down, positivity up. I was made to feel like a very special human being. So I appreciate everyone. Everyone was asking about you. Where's Newman? I said, oh, he's on his way. He's on his
way. I was there.
So you were there,
I was there. We made a day of it. Finally, my wife got to come to a game with me because the kickoff times have been diabolical. We got a babysitter. We made a big day of it. Caught the train in.
Mm.
A lot of Shark supporters on the train. Went to the Cricketers Arms beforehand. Lot of Shark supporters in and around the pubs, in and around the ground.
The vibe was good.
The vibe was good. But I tell you what, in a game like that, man, 15,000. Was it 15,000?
Maybe 16 at the most, yeah.
Have it at Shark Park.
It's. I agree with you. I want that, but, you know, it's not going to happen.
The NRL are crazy. They're crazy, okay? They don't build a culture of attendance all year long. They basically sell the game to the broadcasters and say, all right, give us as much money as you can, we'll give you everything. They don't keep anything. So they hand over all the kickoff times to the broadcasters and they basically say, we don't care if people are in the grounds. All we care about is the TV ratings and the TV money. And all of a sudden, there's no culture of attendance. There's no pressure or impetus for people to attend the games. They don't turn up and they act surprised.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me ask you this, Newman. If we proceed to week 2/week 3, do the masses start to follow the likes of you and I and Crosby and everyone?
Of course. And it will happen this week. That, you know, there'll be a lot of people follow the Eels, tragic Eels fans, like we were last year, that'll turn up at that semi-final, and the NRL will go, oh, our attendances are great because they got maybe 60,000 to an age. But over the year, the numbers are there.
Yeah, they are. They are. I got to say, Newman, around, I was in Bay 35, a lot of trouble is the word I'm going to use, was around
me. Yeah.
I wasn't real happy with...
I didn't
with...
see any of this, so run me through what happened.
It's always minorities, and maybe they just flock to me.
Well, tell me what happened.
Oh, like I was there with my brother and my young nephew, and there was a fight breaking out between like a 30-year-old dude and like a 50-year-old guy, like literally right
fighting.
Near us. Yeah, it was a fight. Like it was building, and then like I don't know what happened, and then
were they both Shark supporters?
Yeah.
Oh man, come on!
Right next to me, and I'm hoping the gentleman's watching. A bloke just yapping all day, which he's perfectly allowed to. You pay your money, get in, do what you want. That's all, you know, kosher, as they say, but. Pretty soon the language was just unbelievable, and you know, I asked him to turn it down, and security asked him to turn it down, and just there was no alcohol involved.
Wow.
It was a special sort, and it just, for me, it ruined things. No one's a bigger Sharks fan than me. I know you guys think you are, I know you think you are. I'm the biggest fan, yet the bloke next to me is carrying on like his life is about to end because our boys can't win a match.
Look, I love rugby league.
Minorities.
I love the club. But there's no, it's not life and death.
Oh, you were sitting where I was, it was.
And
it was
the people, just... and if you act like it's like, and you fight someone
over and over. We had the guy near us run down in Golden Point. I was about 30 rows back, got up, ran down to the fence to give it to the touch judge.
Oh, wow. That being said, I did have visions of running onto the field to talk to Ashley Klein, just like, jump the fence and then have not berate him, but just like go, what are you doing?
I would have chipped in for that fine, I tell you.
Oh man, so we've got some more messages. Leanne says, go the Newman Man Cave. Woo-hoo! Good job, lads, all the way. LG, what does LG mean? So write into us, tell us where you're watching from. I also think we're not getting the right numbers here, because it says 254 people are watching. That is not true. So anyway, if you are watching, send us a shout out, tell us where you're watching from, and make sure you click like on Sharkcast TV and radio. Samuel, the news. So
lower grades.
Should I do the intro?
Do the intro.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of SCGS. And the news is brought to you by Dyson Logistics. Lower grade, Samuel.
Not so good. Third loss in a row for the young gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
The young Sharks. They played Parramatta. They were dominated by the forwards pretty much. And it was an entertaining game. A lot of back and forth, like the NYC tends to have. But they're a little bit out of sorts. Now they're in sudden death footy. Playing Manly, I think, this Saturday.
Did you watch it? Were you there?
I was there, yeah.
Yeah, and they played bad. It all.
They weren't on. The forwards were dominated. So it was hard for the halves and the flashy backs to do things. Towards the end, they fought back, but it was all too late. I still give them a shot to win this week and go on and do things, but three losses in a row, it's disappointing at this stage.
Yeah,
a lot of people, probably like 5,000 people there watching, cheering them on. It was a good crowd for them.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining, but just the result was not what we wanted. So, disappointing.
Okay. That is disappointing. Now, we've got some more shout-outs. David says, if you watch the presser from Greenberg on Flano, he said, Flano put sole blame on the refs for the loss.
Mm-hmm.
He repeats this statement twice.
Mm-hmm.
Our issue is, Shane Flanagan said he had clearance to question the decisions, and he was making it. He made it clear he did not question the integrity of the referee, just the decisions that they made. We're just talking about the consistency. Certain players are able to infer a conspiracy while others question decisions and get record fines. Keep in mind the $20,000 fine that Flanagan's been handed is a record for blaming refs. Even the old, there's got to be an investigation. Even that didn't get 20K. Trent Barrett, I also spoke to someone in NRL land today.
Mm.
Trent Barrett is flawed because he had heard nothing from the NRL until after Flano made his comments. So they're not looking at things independently. Well, they're looking at through the framework.
Shane did mention Trent in his press conference. Maybe they didn't watch the Manly press conference because Shane said,
"Now I know how Trent." Yeah. Now I know how Trent feels. Wow. Okay. So that's where we are. We've got another another shout out here.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Maxworthy, watching from the office. Production not too bad for a couple of blokes in a man cave. Oh, that's pretty good. How's the new mic?
Ooh. Hi, Scotty.
And we got Wounded Wombat Horny.
Oh.
And Jayhawks are one of my favorite all-time bands. Good luck tonight. Now, that's worth pointing out. After this, we're going to crack a few tins. And we're going to go down to the Brass Monkey, and Sam's going to play us a few tunes. What if I bring the guitar out now and you do us a tune for the Sharkcast?
I could warm up, I guess, but I'd rather talk about footy for the moment. But yeah, if you're in the Cronulla area, come down to the Brass Monkey after about 8 o'clock.
I'll be there.
Myself and T-Bone are going to do some songs.
Yep.
Mark from the Jayhawks is going to do some songs. Really beautiful stuff, so plug over.
Okay, any more news? Now, some players have played the last game for the club, so we want to thank you for their service. Jack Bird.
Yeah.
Jared Beal.
Yeah, they both had a good stint with us, both premiership winners, and both helped us get there. So,
yes, thank you for your service. Jack Bird was, in the end, a divisive figure. I thought he played pretty well, except for that.
There was an error. Yeah,
he was going well, and the ball comes flying.
Well, that's like Val. Val ran 50 metres, broke 12 blokes, and drops the ball. It's like,
I reckon that in those situations, we hang on to the ball in those two cases, we probably win the game too.
Yeah, so you can add that to your list.
Yeah.
But yeah, and both of those guys actually have helped us out with our various shows as well, so we need to thank them. Both really lovely guys.
Good luck to them.
Happy for Bealey. 3-year contract, a lot of security.
I would have liked for him to stay.
Yeah, he's pretty versatile. I guess Ramian and a couple of young guys might fill into that position, which is a positive. But I thought he did enough to get a contract extension, that's for sure. Especially he's not on huge money. But
yeah, you got to bring the youth through.
Yeah.
So that's it for the 2016 Premiership winning squad. The bulk of the scattered to the four wins.
Here's a story for you.
Mm.
I saw the great Mick Ennis at Fox Sports where I work.
Yep.
He came into our area and he was hanging around. And he turned to me and he said, 3 more weeks. And I was like, what? And he said, we're premiership winners, current premiers for 3 more weeks. And I looked at him and I laughed. I said, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And he said, I went home and put on the DVD of the grand final after the game. Oh, he felt a lot better. That's straight from the horse's mouth.
Can you imagine watching the grand final with a couple of tins with Mick Ennis? Mick, come do Sharkcast with us.
And then I said to him, I thank you for that premiership. And he laughed. And then all of my colleagues go, no, no, he really thanks you for that premiership. And he walked off laughing. It was great. Made me feel a lot better on a very sad Monday.
I know. Other news.
But that's enough name dropping from me.
Hey, one thing we never talked about on previous episodes of Sharkcast TV and radio was the club paid settled out of court with Todd Carney.
Yeah, Todd Carney.
And they believe that it was a six-figure amount.
Have to be low six figures.
Man.
That was always going to be the case.
If I could get low six figures for doing this bubbler.
No one wants to see that, buddy.
No one wants to see it.
It would be low six figures, and I think that was always going to be the case. And he's probably lucky with what he got.
Oh, man. Lucky?
Well, very
lucky.
That's
a goddamn lottery win.
Yeah, there's rumours he might come back to the NRL next year. I find that extraordinarily hard to believe that someone gets a ninth chance, but that's not my decision. He's a very entertaining footballer, so...
All right, that's our last news for 2017. Very, very sad, Samuel. All right, so normally we cut to a break and then we'll go back to the letters, but we're not having a break because we don't have the capacity to put ads into the show.
We'll learn.
Shark Island Brewing.
Great drop.
Premier's Lager. Dyson Logistics. And
Endeavour
Property Services. Endeavour Property Services. Look all them up. They are our major sponsors on the show. We love them and we couldn't do this. They pay for all of this equipment. They are so good to us. So make sure you support them. Dyson Logistics, Shark Island Brewing, and also Endeavour Property Services. So now it's coming to the time of the show where we go out in front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has dropped into the slots. What is the first bit of new mail you have, Samuel?
We have a letter from Bain, B-A-Y-N-E, Bain, and he says, offside of the death was ignored by the referees.
This is true.
The refs had a shocker, but we shouldn't have let them in the game. I'm sitting in a pub in Surrey Hills, gutted. Last year, that win was held hard. I'll watch the replay, then whinge crazy about this one. So that's all for now. But thank you very much, Bain. I hope you're doing okay.
All right, I got one from Dan Stewart. And he says, hey, fellas, can't believe our season is over already. Yeah, the refs were poor, but we did not respect the footy and cannot expect to win big games with 60% completion.
Mm.
As much as I love Maloney, he was not the same player he was. It took us to a GF win, and it was obvious he's your target for the refs. Will he be here next year?
That's a very fair assumption of his year. I believe he will be here next year. I think it's very unfortunate the timing of his outspokenness about contracts and money and the NRL with a dip in form. It's just an unfortunate kind of pairing. I still rate the guy. I still want him to be a Shark. I hope he'll be here next year.
All right.
And he was a target for the refs.
As far as I know, the club want to keep him, but that is the answers I'm getting on that are like brick walls. Basically, nope. He's
well, there's no one to sign of his caliber. Cooper Cronk is not coming to Cronulla, so there's no one to sign, so they're not going to let him go.
What about Moisa?
Moisa is available, and you want Moisa, just so you can yell at that from the hill.
Moisa!
I don't see it happening.
Okay.
I don't see it happening.
That the response I'm getting from the club, that tells me that something is up. Like, things are happening behind the scene. That doesn't mean it will happen.
They're probably happy with the young fella at the moment and the way that he is being so outspoken.
What do you got, Sam?
Got a letter from Craig.
Yeah.
The refs were bad yesterday, but it was the same old rubbish that let us down. We need new blood in the backs, and our bench lacks size and creativity.
Okay.
We can get back in the top four next year, but changes are needed. I agree with that, Craig. I think next year we can have a good year. I think the premiership hangover will be gone. They'll be hungry. The coach needs to get out all the bad stuff from their system, which I do believe he can do. And I think some new blood is very much needed. We've bought a few forwards from various clubs, which will help the bench.
Yep.
And you'd think Ramin will be pushing for a first grade spot. We bought Josh Dugan. He'll be an automatic inclusion wherever he's going to play. I've got a feeling, Newman, got a weird feeling that guys like Fecky, who I love personally, they're going to be fighting for their spots at certain times during the year next year, depending on form.
I hope that's the case.
With and that young should, guys yeah, coming through.
That should be the case. Yeah. That should be a case at a healthy club.
Yeah.
All right. We're running out of time here, Sam, because the battery on everything is dying. Well, this live stream is harsh on the battery. So we've got one from our mate Nathan.
Hard as we can.
And he writes us a long email that we can't go through everything, but this is an interesting point. The Val Holmes experiment for Facebook, for fullback this year, just did not seem to work. Mm-hmm. Val is more of a ball runner than a ball player, and to only score 6 tries at best from last year, where he was a top try scorer, shows where he was. If Flano was to choose between Dugan or Val for the number one spot, I could live with Dugan.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Sam, he says.
No worries at all. But Val's going to be in the 17, that's all that matters to me. I got a feeling that Joshy's going to be your number one next year. So
I actually think now maybe that Val might have realised that, you know, another season on the wing might not be the worst thing in the world.
It does give them the flexibility to switch, injury, suspension, you know, creativity. You can switch between the two. Someone talked to me the other day about Val being a centre. So, I mean, it'd be wasted
it's
there.
It's too hard to defend there.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting off-season, that's for sure.
We've got some more shout-outs. We've got Jenny says, we'll miss you guys over the off-season. Hope to see you back next year. Well, there's one thing for sure, Jenny. We'll be back next year. There's no doubt about it.
Definitely. Thank you, Jenny.
Okay. We might have technical issues where finding people are saying that it's not working. Can you write in and tell us if it's still not working? And Michelle says, Sharkcast will not be silenced. Solidarity for us.
It's pretty hard to silence.
We are going to have to wrap it up here, Sam, because we are running out of time.
Okay.
But we just want to thank everybody that's involved in Sharkcast, particularly our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, Shark Island Brewing, and Endeavour Property Services.
3 great companies.
Make sure you flick Sharkcast TV and radio alike. Samuel, it's been excellent.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me in your man cave. I think we might do this a bit more often.
Yeah, this is a good way to do it. Now we've got the tech worked out.
A lot of fun. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for all the support all year. We appreciate it. And if you want to get negative, we're cool with that too. There's only a few of you, but you know, we can't... Every email can't be wonderful. Every post can't be...
Well, let's quickly talk about it. It was an underwhelming year.
We had fun.
We had fun, but the
team... No, I'm talking... There's a few personal cheap shots here and there.
Oh, yeah.
But... And we're man enough to, like, shrug it off, so it's cool. But the majority of people are so nice to us, it is unbelievable.
I know.
It is overwhelming. And we're not asking you to stop...
Yeah,
makes us feel good, and it makes us feel appreciated, more importantly. So we do appreciate that, as long as you guys know that, without getting too soppy, that we do appreciate that.
All right. As we say every week, Samuel.
Go the Sharkies.
And we'll see you down at the Brass Monkey tonight to hear Samuel sing, who would you get to play you in the movie of your life?
Yeah, it's not in the set, but anyway.
What are you talking about?
Not the set. We might pull it out for you. See you guys. Thank you very much.
Hey Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.